congregation today, we want more of you. We recognize that you have offered your all to us, but where there are areas in our lives that we have not surrendered, and we're trading our trash for your treasure. We're holding on to the stuff that is keeping us from getting more of you. So Lord, I pray that you would highlight those things in our understanding this morning, that we would recognize those things that are keeping us from getting the more. That we would surrender those things to you today so we can get more of you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your deliverance and your healing. Thank you, God, for your freedom. And I thank you that you're going to bring freedom to some today, to many today. I pray that you would, Holy Spirit, move throughout this room now. That the atmosphere would just be charged with your presence. And those things that are unholy that continue to remain in our lives, Lord, they would just stand out in our understanding. And we'd surrender those and experience your freedom. Thank you, God, for your goodness. We love you too. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to point out this morning that that in this second service, that I'm thankful that y'all love each other so much. But if you ever get uncomfortable squeezing in next to somebody, I know the back, we've added more chairs. If you ever get uncomfortable squeezing in next to somebody, we have a service before this and a service after this. Don't just not come. Just come to a different service. So we're thankful for y'all. Have you ever thought about this? This is interesting. Can you imagine spending the night under the counsel of Satan? Just the whole evening, the whole night that you just, you're hearing Satan counsel you. You think that would be good counsel? You think it'd be trustworthy? You think it'd be healthy? Do you think it would leave you with joy, happiness? In this room are many people who spend nights under the counsel of Satan, and possibly for years. And I'm going to tell you, Ephesians chapter 4 will kind of give us some insight into this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When you go to sleep at night, and you go to sleep with holding on to offense, holding on to unforgiveness, then while you're sleeping, Satan comes and counsels you in your sleep. Just think on that. You gave him a place. You gave him an opening. Now, Christian and I, we never have had the marital rule that we don't go to bed mad at each other. We've gone to bed mad at each other a whole lot of times. But we won't go to sleep being mad at each other. There's been a whole lot of counsel there lying in bed. But that sometimes leads to good stuff. So anyway, we won't linger on that. I have a whole message to preach. I can't get distracted. So what scientists have told us, things go on in our minds, even while we're sleeping. You think that while your body is resting, that your brain isn't. There's moments of rest, and then there's moments of a lot of activity going on in your mind. Scientists have told us that during that time of sleep, your brain is storing new information and processing emotions. Now, if I go to sleep, and what's on my mind is somebody did me dirty, and I'm thinking about that, don't you think that that information that is now being filed in the filing cabinet of your brain is no longer accurate information, because the liar is going to come and feed you misinformation? And those emotions that you feel, don't think they're going to be accurate emotions when you wake up, because the thief will come and meddle with your emotions. He will fool you with your feelings. And so when you aren't quick to forgive, you give an open door to Satan to come in and mess with you. And he will. He the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. For the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about freedom and deliverance. Amen? Amen. Anybody in here need that? Yeah. Everybody should have said, ah, me, both hands. We all do. Freedom ministry is a continual process. And so we all need this. And for the foundation, the very beginning of this sermon series, we're going to start with forgiveness. Forgiveness is the foundation to freedom. You cannot be free. Y'all know what it is to be free. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to be in bondage and held back but to be free. You cannot be free and still hold on to unforgiveness. It's impossible. We have so many scriptures. I'm just going to touch on some of them. We have so many scriptures that tell us this, that you are actually like a prisoner in jail when you're holding on to unforgiveness. And Jesus even tells us, when you're on your way to church to bring a gift to the altar and you remember somebody's got something against you, stop, set down that gift, go get it right with them, then come worship the Lord. He's like, I don't even want to hear from you till you get it reconciled. That is some strong words. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Let me just point this out, that unforgiveness is not just a hang up, it's a sin. Are y'all with me on that? You can't say amen, say oh me. It's one of those things where, it's something that I'm working on. No, it's a sin to hold on to unforgiveness because we have been forgiven so much, and it is an offense to God for you to ask him to do for you what you won't do for somebody else. It's an offense. So he says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Check this out. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. Because that's what bitterness is like. It's a root. It's under the surface. It's doing its work. It's growing. And it's going to spring up. It's going to spring up. I want you to look at the rest of that verse. Lest any root of bitterness spring up cause trouble. And by this many become defiled. We become defiled when we hold on to an offense. We become defiled. And those within our sphere of influence become defiled, and those after us become defiled. I've been doing ministry now long enough, over 30 years now, that I can now see generations of families, generations where I know too much. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know too much that goes on in those families, and I can see the offense started here, and it has continued to affect the children and the grandchildren after it. Y'all with me? Maybe you're starting to think of these things. And so now, how much do you love your kids? How much do you love your grandkids? There are things that we need to let go of so that our kids can have freedom. Because bitterness will defile us. I think about, every year I read through the Bible. Many of you are reading through the Bible this year. Maybe you remember that passage of scripture when the nation of Israel, they come out of Egypt and they come up to a place that they hadn't had any water, and they get to this pool of water and now they're hacked off because the water's bitter. Y'all know that? It's called Marah. And what Marah means bitter. And now they're griping at God because the water resembles them. They've already been griping. They've been griping. He got us out of, he saved us. But now we're not just right off into the promised land. By the way, most of us are somewhere between Egypt and Canaan. And how you handle this process will determine if you ever get the promises. You need to catch that. And so they're griping because, man, we just thought as soon as we left Egypt, we'd go right into the promises. And they're griping because they hadn't gotten any water. And God said he put them to the test to reveal what was inside them. And this was what was inside them, bitterness. Bitterness. And you know what this is so cool when you start to see it. What was the remedy to that bitter water, that pond that was bitter? He threw a stick in it. And it became sweet water. He threw a stick in it. All of a sudden they could drink it. When you recognize that stick called the cross can change your bitterness and your bondage to blessings, man, put a stick in it. Amen. Apply the cross. Apply the cross. In Matthew chapter 18, we have a parable that Jesus tells. Peter asked him, how many times should I forgive my brother? And seven times. And Peter thought he was doing good by saying seven. Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And then Jesus immediately goes into a story about, and this story is obvious exaggeration. It's obvious that he's telling this story to bring a parallel. And he says there was a wealthy man who he had some workers that worked under him. And he calls into the accounts the workers. And then they said, all right, I need the money you owe me. And this one worker said, man, I can't pay. Do you see this? It's verse 24, Matthew 18, 24. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. In today's money, this would be $52 million. $52 million. And obviously he says, I can't pay that. I can't pay that. And he begins crying. And the owner just says, okay, I'll release that debt. You don't have to pay it. Then this guy goes and finds someone who owes him some money. And he jams him up and grabs him by the throat and says, pay me everything you owe me. Verse 28. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Y'all know how much that is? 44 bucks. He was forgiven $52 million and jams up somebody that owes him 44 bucks and says, if you don't pay me everything, I'm throwing you in debtor's prison. Verse 32, then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant? Just as I had pity on you. I hope that you're starting to see. I hope that you see what this is. $52 million is a bargain for your salvation. It don't even come close to the God giving his only begotten son for your salvation. $52 million ain't even a down payment on salvation. Y'all with me? And he has forgiven you all your sin and saved you. And now no longer is there a debt of sin with pending penalties and punishment. Now there is grace upon grace. Amen. And then he says, if you can think on that, you're not going to be so petty. As they, man, did you see how she looked at me? Did you hear what they said to me? If you were to just imagine how great is his grace. Verse 34 gets scary. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Now that was a story, wasn't it? He said this guy owed $52 million, got it forgiven. Guy owes him 44 bucks. He then doesn't forgive that. And it says the Lord, the master comes to him and says, I'm going to hand you over to the torturers. I need you to understand this is a parable. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly parallel. Verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. How many of you know that unforgiveness is torture? It's torture. Bitterness is torture. Why? Because you have stepped outside of the blessings and the favor of God, and you have opened yourself up for Satan. And he now has legal right to bring hell into your life. You with me? Why? Because of the rebellion of unforgiveness. It is an absolute sin to say, yeah, he saved me, but you know what they did is so much worse. It's like an invisible umbilical cord that death has continued to feed in your body. Yeah, I remember maybe you were there when your child was born, and I was there in the room with both of my kids, and the doctor said, you won't come down here and be a part of this? I said, nope. I'm up here on the clean end, good up here. And I said, don't even think about asking me to cut that umbilical cord, because I ain't. That's what we pay you. What's what we pay you for? But you know, some of y'all need to cut the unbiblical cord, because that there's just poison feeding into you. Poison feeding into you. I know some stories. The previous service, man, I knew people in the room, and I know some of the offenses that have happened. I know some of you and some of your stories. And you say, preacher, you don't understand how bad it was. Well, I know horrible, evil things happen in this wicked world. And we aren't discounting that, and we aren't saying it wasn't bad. We're not justifying the offender. We're not saying, oh, you should just blow that off. No, I actually believe that you need to admit your hurt in order to get healed from your hurt. You're going to have to admit it. It needs to come to the surface so that God can heal it. But what I am saying, as long as you hold on to that hurt, it's going to keep poisoning you. It's going to continue to poison you. Just think about electricity. My dad was an electrician for years. He worked with thousands and thousands of volts, and he's seen guys die in front of him. It doesn't take that much voltage to kill somebody. In fact, if there are breaker boxes in here in that closet, and if I get hit by 220 volts, it's probably going to knock me off of it, and I'll be all right. It's going to hurt like fire. And y'all don't want to be around when it happens, because you might hear your preacher say things that you shouldn't hear. Behold, it has struck me. Verily, verily, I have been electrocuted. That doesn't really convey the emotions that come out when you want to talk about its ancestors and everything else. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. So. But you can get a hold of a smaller voltage, and it'll hold you to it. Y'all with me? And I've been a witness to this, and that something that you wouldn't think would have, it'd have hurt them, but, I've seen people get killed when it crosses the heart. If you have a grounded, you grab something that's grounded here and you grab something that's hot here, and it crosses your heart. Some of y'all have got a hurt that has crossed your heart, and you need to let go of it, because it's going to kill you. And as bad as the offense is that you have experienced, I'm not trivializing it at all, but I will say this. I know for a fact there are those who have experienced worse and yet are free. So you can be free. You can be free. It's not to say, oh, well, it didn't matter. No, it mattered. It's not to say they weren't wrong. Oh, they were absolutely wrong. But it is to say, I'm not going to go to bed under the counsel of Satan another day. Because some of you may have been, it's years of Satan's counsel. As you continue to hold on to that offense, you continue to hold on to that burden. I think of another passage of scripture in the Old Testament, that word mara, bitterness, comes up over and over. And one of them was in the book of Ruth, when Ruth had lost her husband and she had lost her two sons, and now one of her daughters-in-law, and then one is coming back with, I'm sorry, Naomi. Naomi means pleasant and beautiful. And when she comes back home after a bad experience with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, she comes back home and they say, oh, Naomi, good to see you. She said, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. She said, call me Mara, for I'm bitter. I'm bitter. Bitterness defiles many. But you know, in that moment, we have a picture in the book of Ruth where there was a kinsman redeemer. And he came, we see his story. His name was Boaz. And in this story, Boaz represents Jesus. Amen. And at the end of this story, Naomi is celebrating once again. Her life has become beautiful once again. Amen. Why? Because the next generation has now come. And she has been freed. So that woman who said, don't call me beautiful and pleasant. You call me bitter. At the end of the story, she's beautiful and pleasant all over again. And that's exactly what Jesus will do for you, our Redeemer. When he comes into your story, when you invite him in and say, but I can't seem to get the feelings cut from this offense. He says, would you let me in? Would you let me in and bring healing? Here's where that saying comes in. And I want you to memorize this saying. You've heard it before. I need you to memorize, let go and let God. Let go and let God. I've shared this before. I'll share it again. I was out. I'd received a phone call from a deranged individual, and he was talking about suing me for something stupid. And I was so mad because he was suing me because our church was praying for him. Can you really sue somebody for that? But he's going to sue me personally and whatever. After we had done a lot of good things for him. And so I'm out there kicking around in the yard. I'm so mad. I'm going to go to San Antonio. I'm going to string up his cat. He loves his cat. He's going to kill his cat. I've shared this story. I mean, I literally was thinking all this stuff out. Literally. I'm like, I got a little rope in the truck. And right in front of his door, when he opens the door, there's his. I thought it through. I ain't kidding. And I'm out there kicking around in the yard. And by the way, if you're cat lovers, I know we have cat lovers in the house, you need to get delivered from that. You need to be free. A cat can't tree a coon. A cat can't fetch your birds. A cat can't. Anyway. So I'm out there fighting mad. I mean, I'm red in the face. I feel my blood pumping through my head. And I'm fighting, man, and God spoke to me in that, and he said, you keep your hands off of it, and I'll keep my hands on it. He said, but you put your hands on this, and I'm taking mine off. And the only response you can have when God speaks to you like that is, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I promise you, that passage of scripture, I have always enjoyed it when it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And I've shared with many how I pray for people, pray about people. And some of y'all know how I pray about people. And I've always said, you know, Lord, they're doing your baby boy dirty. And Lord, a good case of explosive diarrhea would do them some good. And that's my way of handing it to God. Lord, I want you to avenge your son. And don't kill them, but make them wish they was dead. I mean, explosive diarrhea. So I get phone calls all the time. Pastor, you praying for me? I can't get away from the toilet. No. The scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. But how do I know when I have finally forgiven? How I know when I have finally forgiven is by the way, it's a process. Please understand, it's a process. I pray that today you take step one of this journey of forgiveness. It may be a process in which you're just cutting some of these cords, these roots of bitterness that just continue to sour in your soul. And it takes some time, but you're going to take the first step today and say, I will be obedient to the Lord. I'm going to release this. I'm not going to keep holding on. Because by holding on to it, it ain't hurting them at all, but it's hurting me. And so I'm going to be obedient to the Lord and release it. And so that was an individual had done me really, really wrong. And I remember fighting with my feelings for so long and just trying to release it. And I remember the day when I finally released it. And I felt like it was the last cord of that last root was uprooted. And I was driving down 31. I was heading into town. And I crossed that individual at the intersection in front of Walmart. And we locked eyes. He was coming this way and I was going that way. And we locked eyes. And I said, Lord, I really love him. Now, this had been a couple of years of just this dude just wearing me out. And I was, there's a whole long story with it. I'm not going to go into it. But I just remember that day I thought, I'm free. I'm free. I want you to know that week he passed away. Now, the offense was such that I have I can't go into all the details, but I'm going to tell you, I have a great defender. You have a great defender. And for a season, I knew that, man, I really want him to repent. I really want, Lord, put your vengeance on him. Make him hurt in order to bring repentance. That was my mindset. But see, that's not what he does. The scriptures tell us that his kindness leads us to repentance. And so I was just thinking this way, and I just remembered, man, if he don't get right, he's going to die a miserable man, because he was a miserable man, eat up with bitterness. I was just his latest target. It was a lifetime. The bitterness started in his childhood and extended all the way, and there was a track record of offense after offense, because offended people get offended real easy. Hurt people get hurt real, real easy. There are people who are chronically offended, and if that's you, let's stop that today. You can get free today. And I remember when I heard that he had passed away that week, I thought, God was waiting on me to get free. He was waiting on me to finally say, I love him. I don't hold any ill regard to him. What he did is because of his own bitterness. You can be free. Amen? Amen. You can be free. John chapter 14, verse 30, Jesus was getting close to the cross. And he was talking to his disciples, and he said, the ruler of this world is on his way. Who's he talking about? Satan. By the way, he does a lot of evil stuff because he's still ruling in many people's hearts in this world. He said, the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Amen. Amen. How can you say he has nothing in me? Quit opening doors to him. Quit opening doors to him. And how could Jesus say it? Because Jesus was always preemptively forgiving somebody. And we see it from the cross where he says, in the midst of him being crucified, Father, forgive them. Notice what he did not say. He did not say, I forgive them. It was beyond that. Because see, here's how I forgive. I forgive, I say, God, get them. Y'all hear me? That's not real forgiveness. That's not, I know I make a joke out of it. It's my way of just releasing things to say, you know, explosive diarrhea. But Jesus didn't say, God, I'm handing over you. You get them. It's not what he said. He said, Father, forgive them. That's the kind of heart that God can bless in such a way. Well, Philippians chapter 2, I think starts in verse 5, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought equality with God not something to be held on to, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Those of heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. Amen. How could God so glorify Jesus? Because of the way that he lived life, saying, Father, forgive them. I don't hold this against their account. You don't hold this against their account. I need a heart like that. I need a heart like that. Amen. Don't be guilty of the rebellion of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is an open door, and Satan gets access to your soul. But shut the door and kick him out. Would you stand with me? Can we just go ahead and start doing some of this right now? Would y'all be all right with that? Maybe you're here today and you're still holding on to some things and say, man, I've tried. Handed it over to the Lord, but man, it seemed to find its way right back into my hands. have a God who is able to bring you freedom. And so would you just close your eyes with me and let's just spend some time in prayer, some deep thought. Forgiveness is sometimes like an onion. You just have to peel it back layer after layer. Roots often have, they don't just come out in one root. There's multiple roots. But I pray that today the miraculous happens and you just completely uproot all the offense. Say, yeah, it was wrong. But you know what? I ain't holding on to it. Father, I pray over my brothers and sisters and ask that you would just bring freedom today. Lord, that you would highlight areas that they haven't even been aware. So many times there's an unawareness because we have so suppressed it. Lord, you bring it to the surface so that we can deal with it. Lord, I am very aware that sometimes the greatest offense that we have is towards you. It sounds so dirty even coming out of my mouth. But we feel like you should have done things different. We feel like you should have brought us straight out of Canaan, straight out of Egypt, right into Canaan. Straight out of bondage, right into the promised land. And we've become the advisor on what you should be doing. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a clear understanding that you're God, we're not. You know things we don't. You're always right, and you're always good. And even when we don't understand it, you're still working on our behalf. Man who has offended me more than any other human being, the one who has brought more hurt to my life than any other human being, is the man that I look at when I look in the mirror. Sometimes we got to forgive ourselves. As long as we continue to hold on to that hurt, hold on to that ugliness, we'll continue to remain in bondage. Just going over and over again, remembering the things that we had done that brought hurt to us and those that we love. Sometimes we need to look in the mirror and say, I forgive you. And I release you from this bondage of bitterness. Lord, I pray that you would help us in our soul searching right now, Lord, that you would just absolutely bring healing. And now we take the authority that is ours in Christ Jesus and come against the liar, the slanderer, Satan himself, who counsels us in our sleep, the one who twists the tales and who fools us with our feelings. We come against him in the name of Jesus by the blood of Christ. And declare, your work is done. It's time for you to move out. Get out of the house of our soul, or shutting the door, being obedient unto God. We're going to let go of it and let God deal with it. But Satan, no longer will we listen to your counsel. Spirit of God, I pray that you'd just move through this house now, bringing healing and freedom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.